Well, hello there, and thanks so much for joining me, Joel Chua, on Journeys Within, where counselors and other experts shine a guiding light on some of the common personal challenges we may experience from time to time, so that we can find an inner path towards growth and healing in our own journey through life. Well, here's a question. Is happiness a choice? Well, some might say yes, but in a relationship, whether it's marital, parental, or any kind of relationship, really, whether you are genuinely happy often depends on how the other person in the relationship responds to you. Or so the conventional logic goes. My guest today may offer a slightly different perspective on that matter. We'll be chatting with her about achieving happiness in a relationship through a theory called choice theory and reality therapy. My guest is Evelyn Koh. She's a psychotherapist who has a special interest in choice theory and reality therapy, or CTRT for short. She's also a faculty member of the William Glasser Institute, and that's the institute that promotes CTRT in Singapore and around the world. Evelyn, a very warm welcome to Journeys Within. Thank you so much for joining us on today's program.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you for having me here.
And if your listener has a question or a comment you'd like to pose to Evelyn or share with the rest of our community who's tuned in, do call in on 669-11938. That's 669-11938. Or you can text us or WhatsApp us as well on 963-11938. Evelyn, is happiness a choice? That's quite a stumper, isn't it? But since you're a CTRT practitioner, the answer might come quite easily to you.
Joel, from CTRT perspective, happiness is a choice. Mm. Well, it doesn't just come to us, you know, it requires work. It's really by constructing the happiness one choice at a time. You know, in lifetimes, they're bound to be ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. We might feel sad, angry, disappointed, whatever situation we might be in. Maybe someone has a partner who is violent or have very different interests, or maybe a parent who seemingly not as loving or nurturing enough. Our feelings informs us about our unmet needs. But it is our choice, how long we want to stay sad, stay disappointed or angry,
easier
and how to move forward.
But easier said than done, isn't it? Philosophically, sure, happiness is a choice. But how can we overcome those pesky feelings and emotions that seems to distract us from happiness? Because I guess all of us have a definition of what happiness must be. And we've got these preconceived ideas on the circumstances and conditions that must be in place in our life before we can allow ourselves to be happy. Let's talk about that in just a little while. But first, let's take a step back. CTRT stands for Choice Theory and Reality Therapy. In a nutshell, what is CTRT?
Thank you for that question. That helps to answer your earlier question. Mm. So in a nutshell, choice theory and reality therapy holds the view that humans are not externally but internally motivated. So we are all born with the five basic needs, and we are driven by these basic needs. The five basic needs are, first, survival, of course, beyond food, shelter, water, is to do with security, safety, structure, stability, and routine. The second one is love and belonging. We meet this need in our relationships. So this has got to do with to love and be loved, to connect and be connected, belong and be belong. The third one is self-worth. It's to do with competence, achievement, accomplishment, the sense of importance in what we are good at or in whatever that we do or we enjoy doing. The fourth is freedom, independence, free to choose, and ultimately having choice is fundamental of human experience. Mm. And the fifth one, fun. We all need to have fun, you know. Without fun, life can be boring, right? Yeah. So fun includes enjoyment, pleasure, laughter, entertainment, celebration, right? So fun, according to Dr. Glasser, who's a psychiatrist who developed this approach, he said that fun is a genetic reward for learning. It's our playfulness and our sense of discovery that allows us to learn.
Fun is a genetic reward for learning.
Yeah.
I like that. I like how he put that. So these five needs, these aren't like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs that most of us are familiar with, right? These five needs are universal, but they occur simultaneously. They occur concurrently. We need all these five needs met at the same time.
Yes. The day we are born, we have the five needs.
Right.
Although we may each have a different need strength profile. Some may have a high need for freedom, power. Some may have a high need for love and belonging and all that. So we all have different need strength profile, but otherwise, all of us have all the five needs. And all our behavior is our best attempt at any moment to get what we want and what we need. But the thing here is we don't go around knowing our needs, right?
Right. We're not always conscious of what motivates and drives us subconsciously.
Yes. But most of the time, people know what they want. We don't think of our needs as such. We think of what we want. So Dr. Glasser says that soon after we are born, we develop this internal world. And he called it quality world. And in this quality world, we put pictures of what we deem need satisfying to us into it. So it includes pictures like people, things, experiences, beliefs, values that governs our behavior.
Right. Would it be too simplistic to say that if those idealized versions or images of these five different needs are met, then we're happy? If they're not met, we are not happy?
Pretty much. If we could live in this quality world, we are the happiest person on earth.
And this is an internally constructed, self-constructed quality world, isn't
it? Based on our experience. It's unique to each of us because it depends on what experiences or the environment provide for us at that time.
Right.
So that's how we form our pictures. But we don't live in a quality world. We live in a real world.
Yeah,
where there are many people with different quality world pictures and different need strength profiles. So, but it is the real world. We must get what we want and meet our needs. So
do we adjust? Do we tweak our quality world, or do we tweak our behavior so that we are better positioned to achieve our quality world and realize our quality world?
Well said. That's our choice. When we realize what are some of the pictures in our quality world and review them and maybe perhaps even see if it's realistic, not realistic, attainable, not attainable. And it is our choice to change those pictures, to replace them, to tweak them, to prioritize them and all that. So that's within our power.
You're a psychotherapist. You're trained in various counseling and psychotherapy modalities, but you're also a faculty member of the William Glasser Institute that promotes CTRT in Singapore and around the world as well. What is especially attractive about CTRT to you as a clinical practitioner?
I think besides CTRT being an approach that is very client-centered, focusing on empowering people to take charge of their lives, helping them to learn how to make choices. It's amazing, you know. There is this statement that I learned from one of the guru. He said, empowerment is the expansion of freedom of choice. And when we start to see choices in our lives, or even my client, you start to see how liberated they feel when they see choices. It is satisfying.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful thought and insight that you're sharing with our listeners today. We're talking to Evelyn Koh, who is a psychotherapist in private practice. Her practice is called In Focus Counseling and Therapy. She's also got a special interest in choice theory and reality therapy. We'll be talking about how we can apply these principles and strategies in our relationships, the important relationships that we have in our lives, and position ourselves to better achieve happiness, not just for ourselves, but in our relationships as well. That's what we're talking about tonight on Journeys Within. If you've got a question, do WhatsApp us on 963-11938 and Evelyn will answer your questions. Journeys Within continues in just a little while. Do stay with us. Thanks so much for staying with us here on Journeys Within on 938 Now. I'm Joel Chua. We're talking today with Evelyn Koh, a faculty member of the William Glasser Institute that promotes choice theory reality therapy, which is a counseling modality in Singapore and around the world also. She's a psychotherapist in private practice. You know, we talk about, well, just before we went for the break, Evelyn, we spoke about how sometimes when people or your clients allow themselves to open their minds and to consider other options and choices, and really choice is the crux of this CTRT modality, it's in the name, choice theory, they feel so liberated. Right, they feel so empowered. You used the word empowered just now, realizing that yes, I had this option that I did not know was available to me before. Why do people not? What keeps them not aware of these choices?
Okay, the reason is the external control psychology mindset. All right. So most people carry the external control psychology mindset in the relationship. So a wife may say, my husband is the cause of my misery, right? And he doesn't care about the family.
It could work the other way also for our male listeners.
I'm just giving an example,
yes,
right?
I'm sure.
And the husband might say that, my wife needs to change. Yeah. She nags too much, right? So we want the other person to change. That's external control mindset.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we ended up what choice theory call using the seven deadly habits or the disconnecting habits.
Seven deadly habits. It's a play on the seven habits for highly successful from a different thought leader.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the seven deadly habits?
So the seven deadly or disconnecting habits are criticize, blame, complain, nag, threaten, punish, bribe.
Bribe. Bribe means
bribe and reward to control the other person.
If you do this for me, I'll give you something.
Yeah. So choice theory call this seven disconnecting and daily habits because it instills fear in a relationship. It brings about distrust in a relationship. So that's one of the issue here because we want others to change and then we ended up criticizing or nagging others in the hope that person will change.
Right, to fit our quality world, the inner image that we've created for ourselves, the idealized perfect image.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, so those are the seven deadly habits or disconnecting habits.
Yes.
Our attempt to control our social environment, our external social environment, in particular the people who are closest to us.
Yes.
And that's quite ironic, right? The people who are closest to us are the people that we want to try to control the most.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you help people? How do you help your clients appreciate that this is what they're doing and to see that there are other options available to them that they may not have considered before?
So going back to a couple, right? It's to help them learn inner control, internal control psychology. Help them to learn that, to understand their wants and their needs. Whether it's working with a couple, parent, child, or any relationship, siblings included, is to help them to learn to listen to each other's wants and needs, the differences if they have a totally different need strength profile. I mean, we get along with people who have the same need strength profile with us, but those that we find it a little bit hard are those that have different need strength profile from us. One of the things that we do is to help them learn to listen, to understand, not to listen to respond first.
Right. And that's always so tempting. It's automatic, right? We listen to respond rather than listen to empathize. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So the understanding has to come first because then that's when they learn to respect the differences, right? The different wants and the needs. And then helping them to self-evaluate their choices. The choices that they have chosen, whether it's nag or control the other and so forth. And then later on, we help them to negotiate and make choices that are mutually acceptable and enjoyable for their marriage.
Right. Yeah. Negotiating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that I guess a lot of different therapeutic approaches also have. But I'm interested to find out, how is this process of negotiating within a relationship? What are the unique elements in the CTRT approach that you can share that our listeners who may not have a dysfunctional relationship can still use to improve the quality of their relationships nonetheless? We'll continue this conversation in just a little while. And when we continue as well, we'll be asking Evelyn to respond to one of our listeners who has written in on WhatsApp to ask, these days it's unsettling. There is so much bad news and I don't know how to stay happy. How can I choose to stay happy? This is what WJ, one of our listeners, has written in to ask. We'll leave you hanging for a little while so that Evelyn has a little bit of time to also think about how to respond to this. How do you choose to stay happy in a world where when almost every other piece of news that you receive is seemingly a bad piece of news? Journeys Within continues in just a little while. And if you'd like to ask Evelyn a question as well, or to make a comment about maybe your own observations, please do text us on 963-11938. We continue in just a while. Thank you so much for staying with us here on Journeys Within on 938 Now. I'm Joel Chua. Evelyn Koh is our guest today. She is a psychotherapist in private practice. Her practice is called In Focus Counseling and Therapy. She's got a special interest in a counseling approach called Choice Theory and Reality Therapy. In fact, she is part of the faculty of the William Glasser Institute, which promotes Choice Theory and Reality Therapy. We'll be calling it CTRT for short. If you've got a question for Evelyn, do something like what WJ, one of our other listeners, did, and text us on 963-11938 with your question, or you can call us also on 669-11938. So Evelyn, let's continue first with WJ's question. WJ wrote in and said that these days it's unsettling. There's bad news happening and I don't know how to stay happy. How can I choose to stay happy? Happiness, as you shared with us earlier, is a choice. So help WJ make that choice to stay happy. What can he or she do?
Joel, I think WJ, it's a person who cares about people, cares about the world. So I think that the fact that he or she, right, feels sad about what's happening, it says something, you know, that not just she cares, she wants to see happiness in others, right? So, but the feeling, the intense feeling, or maybe the sadness is taking charge of her. So what perhaps one can learn is a very important and powerful concept developed by Dr. Glasser, or in choice theory we call total behavior, all right? So Dr. Glasser used an analogy of a car to describe total behavior. He explained that when it comes to behavior, it's not just action, all right? It consists of four components. That is the acting, thinking, feeling, and physiology. So we need to help others learn that they can feel better by acting differently and thinking differently. So we are empowering them with choice to engage their acting and the thinking will towards the happiness or towards the outcome they hope to see.
Right. Total behavior, you're using the analogy of a car, because a car has four wheels and these four wheels correspond to the four domains that you just shared: feeling, acting, thinking, and the physiology, the way our body simply functions automatically.
Yeah, but our body experience, yes. Dr. Glasser said the two front wheels are the acting and the thinking. All right, the back wheels, the feeling and the physiology. We don't have direct control over our back wheels. So when you turn the steering wheels, it is the two front wheels that we have control over.
Right.
And the back wheels will follow.
Right.
So, but when we are sad, angry, mad, or whatever, our back wheels is spinning.
Right. The emotional part and the physiological part.
Yes.
That's the part we can't control.
Yes. And it's taking charge of us. So to take charge back, it's to change our acting and thinking.
Mm.
Yeah. And our back wheels will follow.
Right.
So like WJ, she cares about the world. She feels sad about the world. Perhaps is what are some ways, you know, she can contribute in small little ways, or how can she bring hope or influence in small little ways? So her sadness will become curious, a little bit more in control of what can she do in small little ways to influence the world.
Perhaps. Right. Small steps, small little incremental changes in thinking and behaving.
Yes.
All right. WJ, I hope that's helpful to your question, and I hope you feel a little bit happier soon. Let's bring the conversation back, Evelyn, to the context of a relationship, specifically a marital relationship. What are some common challenges in a marital relationship that can be addressed effectively from a CTRT perspective?
I've mentioned about the external control mindset, mm-hmm. right? How sometimes, although we know what to do and what we should do, a lot of couples, they know what they should do, but their feelings are taking charge of them. And so it's to help them to learn the concept of total behavior. The other one is the different need strength profile. You know, example, I have a husband who has a high need strength for freedom and power. And then I have a client, the wife is high need strength for survival and love and belonging.
These two are married?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. So what happened is, the husband wanted to leave the full-time job, a secure job, you know, to venture into some new business and all. But that is scary for the wife, and wife was terrified. And in that process, what happened was she basically criticized the idea. Mm. So at some point, the husband decided to appease the wife and just, you know, forgo that idea, stay back in the job, do what he has been doing, but he has never been happy.
Mm.
Yeah. He carries the hurt and the disappointment with him and he withdrawn from the relationship.
Right. Because by staying in that job that didn't satisfy his needs, it really didn't speak to his quality world, the inner world, that idealized image that he had created for himself.
Yes.
He was doing it maybe grudgingly to appease the wife.
Yes, absolutely. So when I work with them, besides helping them to listen to each other and the different, not just the different ones, but the different needs. I mean, the wife has a high need for security. And besides that, she has also a high need for love and belonging. She said that time, focusing on the business would mean time away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So that is because of the different need strength profile and the different ones. So my job was to help them to express themselves and let them to listen to each other and to understand and respect the differences. But eventually is to help them to self-evaluate what are they currently doing and how is it for their marriage. So soon after they realize that they overlook the third entity, that is their marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very often it's just individual wants and needs, but there is a third entity, that's the marriage.
Yeah. What does the marriage need?
Yes.
It's not what you need. It's not what I need.
Yes.
It's really what does the marriage need?
Yes. Yes. Mm. And then they realize that the marriage has suffered because of the external control use on each other and so forth.
Right. Can this approach also be applied to a parent-child relationship?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I guess one of the variables is, at what age is the child? Because at different developmental stages, the needs and wants differ quite a bit.
Yes, the needs doesn't change, but the wants change. The need strength profile doesn't change, but the wants change. Mm. As a child, you like a toy, but along the way, and then you become a teen, you want computer games, right? Or something else, right? So the wants change, but ultimately the wants is to meet the needs.
Right. So you're also implying that the need strength profile of a person is set very early on in life and it doesn't change throughout life.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It's almost like our personality.
Right.
Yeah.
So how can you apply this same perspective in a parent-child relationship?
Well, parent-child, very common is the different ones. The common issues is like, why is my son playing computer games whole day? Why isn't he study and all that? I want him to study more. And then the teen or the child, you will see, you hear him saying that, why is my mom on my back all the time? You know, why can't she just leave me alone? And, but when we ask them more, we explore more, by asking them, what does it mean for them when they see the differences? And then you realize that what they really want is for the mom to see son being more responsible.
Mm.
But for the son, is to see mom trust him.
Mm.
So there is a commonality there. There is trust, responsibility.
Right. How does the concept of choice come into this perspective?
Mm. So we help them to move away from external control psychology. That is, it's not about that person change or not. It's what are you doing to get what you want? So for the son, I'll turn to him and say, you know, if it's trust that you want, what are you doing to build the trust?
Mm.
And mom, you, if you want to see son being more responsible and trust your son, what are you doing to build that trust and to hopefully see the son taking more responsibility? And at some point, we also help them to self-evaluate their existing choice, whether, you know, to change the others and nag or blame and all that. Is that helping them or not?
Right.
Yeah.
But speaking now to Evelyn Koh, she is a psychotherapist from In Focus Counseling and Therapy with a special interest in choice theory and reality therapy. We'll be speaking more with Evelyn in just a little while on how can a person make better choices in his or her life to achieve happiness, whether it's happiness by him or herself or happiness in a relationship. Journeys Within continues in just a while. Stay with us. Thanks so much for staying with us. We are continuing our conversation on Journeys Within with Evelyn Koh. She is a faculty member of the William Glasser Institute, which promotes CTRT or Choice Theory Reality Therapy in Singapore and around the world. She's also a psychotherapist in private practice. So CTRT, as you explained to us earlier on, Evelyn, is about evaluating the choices that we have before us, shifting our mode of thinking from an external control kind of thinking, what can I do to control my environment, to more something more, a bit more introspective. What can I do to perhaps moderate or modulate this, what we call the quality world, this idealized world that we have created for ourselves? We unconsciously or subconsciously think that the world, my external environment must be this way. These conditions must be in place before I will allow myself to be happy and satisfied with life. Is that in a nutshell?
Yes. I would like to just add one point. I've taught and worked with many people, right? The most empowering idea from choice theory and reality therapy is this. The only person whose behavior we can control is our own. So it's not about changing others, but what can I change within? And like you said, the pictures in our quality world, if it's unrealistic, unattainable, change and replace to one that is more realistic.
Mm.
All right. If I don't see my mom as a loving and nurturing one, then can I be more realistic to change to one that mom cares, but it's just instrumental, more instrumental than intuitive a person. That's all right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's within my choice. And of course, the behavior.
Right.
Right. The concept of changing the two front wheels, the acting and the thinking, right. Our back wheels will follow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This I guess works well or works relatively easier if you are on your own. But in a relationship, especially in a close relationship, like a marital relationship, if let's say you are the party who wants to change, who wants to make more helpful choices internally so that you respond more healthily to your external environment. But the person you're living with, perhaps your spouse, doesn't change or perhaps continues with his or her behavior that grates you, that gets on your nerve and frustrates you. And you're living with this on a day-to-day basis. Surely it must be frustrating. Do you then keep on going back to your inner quality world and keep tweaking and reducing your inner quality world in some way?
That's a wonderful question, Joe. I think we've got to remember that we don't change ourselves in order to change others. We change for ourselves in a hope to influence the system. Okay? So I've worked with some family who or couples that the partner refused to come in or are unable to participate in the counseling process. So ultimately, my job is to help the client, let's say the spouse, whoever that might be, a wife or husband, to understand that we can't change the other person, all right? And we can only take responsibility for ourselves and create a change for ourselves. And by changing ourselves in our way of interaction, learning the 7 connecting habits,
mm-hmm.
and then what will happen is the other person will experience the new spouse.
Right? You talked about the 7 disconnecting habits just now. What are the 7 connecting habits?
Okay. 7 connecting habits are respect, encourage, negotiate, trust, listen, of course, very important, accept, and support.
Hmm.
All right. So when we use the 7 connecting habits and then change ourselves, take responsibility, create a change that we hope to see, our interaction, our communication will change. And that person experience the new us may be influenced to be more open to respond differently.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, that powerful idea that you shared is we can't change other people. The only person we can change is ourselves.
Mm.
But a rejoinder, an important rejoinder to that is that when we change ourselves, we cannot also automatically that other people, we cannot guarantee that another person will respond to our change in the way that we desire him or her to respond.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so from an emotional perspective, how do we sustain that? Because I guess when we change, I mean, there must be either a conscious or at least a subconscious kind of hope that the other party will also clap along with me.
Yes.
Right.
I think at the end of the day is to accept the self for who we are and trust ourselves in that process. All right. When we change to change the other person, it might not happen.
Mm.
But be the person you want to be in spite of circumstances.
Mm.
All right. As long as you be the person you want to be and you're happy with the choices that you've made, whether the person, ideally our loved one, respond to us. And most of the time, so long as you are in the other person's quality world, that's the power of influence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that person it's just a matter of time, will respond.
Mm.
So the way to happiness is to accept self, trust self in the whole process, improve ourselves, never at the expense of others.
Right.
Yeah. And to get what we want in our lives and to learn to negotiate differences and choose the happiness that we all want to live.
And that's a beautiful way to conclude our conversation today, Evelyn. Thank you so much for sharing with us these perspectives, this very self-empowering perspectives on CTRT, choice theory and reality therapy. Evelyn Koh has been our guest today on Journeys Within. She's a psychotherapist in private practice from In Focus Counseling and Therapy, also a faculty member of the William Glasser Institute. Evelyn Koh, once again, thank you so much for being our guest on Journeys Within.